Hello and welcome to Feel Good with Jo, your Friday guide to leading a happy and healthy life. Each show, I interview an expert in health and well-being to get their tips on how to manage our busy and often stressful lives. And today I'm excited to be joined by a great friend of mine, Michael Cairns, who has just published his first science fiction trilogy, A Game of War. And we're going to be talking about why and how creativity is good for the soul. So welcome, Mike. It's fantastic that you can join us today.
Thank you very much. It's lovely to be here.
So first things first, before we get stuck in, how does it feel to have published your first set of books?
It's fantastic. It really is fantastic. It's been lots of hard work, but the sort of end result has been more than worth it. And yeah, really exciting. Yeah,
so just to fill people in, I've known Mike as a music teacher and as a drummer. So he's been a drummer in all sorts of bands, actually, in the time that I've known him. And this is a really new incarnation for us, anyway, as your friends. And I wanted to just ask, how has writing ended up being it? Because it really seems to have taken you over.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I loved writing when I was at school. I always had a passion for English at school, so it's kind of something that I've always done to one extent or the other. But a couple of years ago, I was on a retreat helping my wife out. And I just sort of sat down and started writing without really thinking about what I was doing. There was no conscious thought of, okay, I want to write a book now. It was very much I just sat down over my computer. And it just seemed to be something that was the right thing to do. In sort of the space of about 2 days, I think I wrote about 10,000 words, again, without really thinking about what I was doing or what the point of it was. And since then, it's just been not quite an obsession, but certainly a compulsion, something that I feel I want to do every day, that I enjoy every day. And it really has just purely happened without any kind of conscious decision about that at all.
And so, really what strikes me about that is to ask, how important do you think that was, that it wasn't conscious, that it came from not a deciding space in the mind, but a just letting it happen space?
Yeah, I think, there's kind of a lot of talk about finding the things that you're meant to do. And I think often it's easy in life to be sort of led down the pathways of this is what you're supposed to do and this is the right thing to do and so forth. And oftentimes actually you find that the right thing to do is the thing that comes without having to sort of go through those conscious choices, the things that you do naturally, that you enjoy, almost the things that you don't find you have to put effort in order to do something with. So and certainly for me, writing feels like that. It's always a pleasure to sit down. It's never a chore. It's never something that I see as a job as such. Although I do take it very seriously, you know, that level of unconsciousness where you're not aiming towards something, but at the same time it feels very important, is, I think, a big part of it, yeah.
So, at the same time I'm sitting here thinking, so he's actively gigging in a band. He is a full-time music teacher and really quite a lot of responsibility in that job. He's the parent of a very young daughter. How are you managing to do it? Because we talk in this show all the time about managing being busy and staying on purpose, staying happy by staying on purpose, having time in our lives to do things which perhaps have less point to them other than the point of really fulfilling ourselves. So I'm just sort of sitting here thinking, so how are you doing it? How are you managing it?
Well, I think what you said about in terms of, you know, finding the things that don't necessarily have an immediate point and trying to balance the things that you do kind of goes back to what I said in terms of it's not something that has ever felt like a chore or something I have to, don't want to say not work at, but something that comes very naturally. And so to me, I think the balance, let's say I get home from a tough day at school and I've had some difficult classes and it's been very tiring. I find writing to give me the other side of that balance. It's the sense of, you know, I like the sense of achievement, the sense of producing something. For me, that is something that makes me feel good. And so for me, the balance comes in being able to do that after a busy day. Obviously, it's a lot of time management and it's a lot of sort of discipline. But I think you can almost tell when something is the right thing to do because the balance is very easy to find. I don't ever feel, you know, I normally sit down to write about 7:30 or 8 o'clock in the evening, because that's after sort of everything else has happened. But that isn't difficult to do. That feels like the right balance. I would, you know, let's say what I might do is sit down and watch TV then. I would find TV far less relaxing than writing, because I think writing's accessing completely different parts of my brain and making me, you know, feel far different. So yeah, for me the balance is easy because it's the right thing to be doing, and because that's the relaxing side of my life. So.
And has that always been clear for you, or is that something you've achieved over time?
Obviously the writing's been so recent, and I've only really just started quite recently to look at kind of the effect of it. And for that has just happened. I don't feel like I've had to sort of build up to that at all. I think one of the reasons why I think writing is such a fundamental thing for me is because prior to that, I would have sat down and watched TV or something else like that didn't have that same impact on me. So I've built up to it over time because it hasn't happened before now. But at the same time, it does seem to have just come very naturally without having to kind of develop the habit.
Yeah, which I think is a real gift, actually, in the sense of, you know, that's not a gift in the sense of a talent, but a gift in the sense of, wow, you know, how wonderful to receive that, to receive that insight. I wanted then to thinking in terms of our listeners and the fact that people, generally speaking, are feeling overstretched. And in my last interview, I was interviewing a lady who does audiobooks for BBC Worldwide, and she's done a whole range of different books, one of which is Relaxation and How to Get Rich, one of which is Relaxation and How to Lose Weight. And she said, you know, it's actually the Relax and Get Rich one, it's not the bestseller. She was totally expecting it to go to the top of the charts. And it's not the bestseller, just the Relaxation one is the bestseller. So I thought that was very interesting in terms of, you know, the state that we're all in, really. So, you know, because I know that you're a music teacher full time and an active musician, drumming. What has been your observation over working with children for the last several years for how music and creativity more widely enriches and impacts their lives?
So I think there's sort of various different parts of it. To kind of look at the creativity side of it, I think for me the power of something like music, obviously there's the things people talk about, the sort of communication around the world that isn't limited by language and this kind of thing, but the real power for me is that an activity like music completely takes you into the present moment. There is no sense of worrying about what's going on outside of you, worrying about what's happened yesterday, what's happening tomorrow. It's all about where you are at that point, because you're very much engaged in this creative activity. And for me, that's kind of the power of creativity. A lot of the students we have here, you know, have quite difficult backgrounds, come from very challenging homes. And the music gives them that ability to, or that opportunity to escape and find themselves just in the present moment, just focusing on the task that they're doing. And for many of them, they don't have that anywhere else in their life. And I think, you know, for the kids, it's great. I think that goes for anyone. The, you know, the very habit of creativity, getting into that discipline where you are really focused on exactly what you're doing at that time, is massively powerful in terms of relaxation, in terms of generally feeling better, feeling healthier. There is, you know, there's lots of research about how important the present moment is to feeling happy. So, yeah. That, I think, is the main impact that I've seen it have on students.
And, again, really, really struck by how much this theme of being present runs through so many of my shows. And my question is, what would you tell a listener to do to feel present?
I think, really, just the very habit of being creative is kind of what you're aiming for. For me, it might be writing or drumming. For someone else, it might be painting. There's lots of different ways that you can be creative. But when you are really creative, when you are actually focusing on it, and sort of being in the flow of being creative, you're operating primarily in alpha state, which is a state in which is kind of associated with being very relaxed. So meditation takes you to a very similar place. And so just that act of creativity will, I think, help listeners to be much more relaxed and to live generally healthier as a result.
And it occurs to me as we speak that we haven't defined creativity in any way. And so just wanted to take a moment to do that. So for me, being creative doesn't have to mean being an artist. And I just wanted to be very clear about that, because in my work, I have so many people who would respond by saying, but I'm not creative. I'm not creative in any way. I'm not musical in any way. I can't write for Toffee. You know, just would feel actually excluded by a focus on creativity, to which I always want to respond, in everyday life, we're making creative choices all the time, and we're having creative expression all the time. And that creative expression is, who am I? You know, so somebody might find their creative expression through cooking. Somebody might find their creative expression through gardening. Somebody might find it through decorating their house beautifully. Another person might find it simply in the art of conversation. They could be an incredible listener. All of those things are expressions of self. And for me, an expression of self is a creative act. What's your take on that?
I would agree entirely. I think that's exactly the point. I like the fact that you said cooking, gardening. I think it's trying to approach life or approach a problem, allowing yourself to see beyond either what you've done before or beyond barriers that you've probably put there yourself. So approaching anything in life with a sense of, you know, what if and how can I do this? Without it being limited by guidelines that maybe you've already set up. So I think that's the thing for me, is just this open mind view of, you know, what if, what can I do with this? And yeah, creativity is in all walks of life and in everything you do. And as a teacher, it's interesting because, of course, I'm teaching the students creativity through music. But for me, my lesson planning is a creative act. The creation of the PowerPoints that I use to teach them is a creative act. So there's, you know, creativity comes into it in all different kind of ways.
Absolutely, and I have no idea why that made me think of the way that we dress ourselves as a creative act, but it did make me think of that. Maybe because that's one of the ways you express yourself at school, and I'm remembering some of the fantastic, interesting choices from my own school days. So I guess where that then takes me is this sense of wanting to give an appropriate priority to finding some sort of creative expression as part of somebody's plan for their well-being, and appreciating really how daunting that could be, wanting to encourage people just to start, because, you know, you must have encountered that when you started writing the book and you started to think, okay, so I'm actually going to publish this book, and we've got to learn about publishing, because you publish it yourself, I know. And, you know, there's all the marketing that comes with that. There must have been a point at which it seemed like a huge task. Do you have any really, really practical tips for people, I guess, when they face that sort of daunting start of a project where they're going to be creative and they've got the logistical stuff around it?
I think it's important to remember, for me, that, you know, everyone is time poor. Time is the big thing that I think gets in everybody's way. And creativity is relevant whether it's a 5-minute task or whether it's a 2-hour task. So the first thing I'd always say is, don't try not to look at it as this daunting big thing. Look at it as, do I have 15 minutes today I can put to one side and do something, you know, that is creative and is potentially selfish, is for me, just me, what creative thing can I do for those 15 minutes? And I think, for me, certainly when I started writing, one of the advantages was I wasn't thinking, first of all, yes, I wasn't thinking about anyone else, I was just thinking about writing for me, and secondly, I wasn't thinking what's going to come tomorrow, what's going to come the next day, you know, I was just purely thinking I would like to do this now. So I think giving yourself a small amount of time and not feeling that it necessarily at this point has to lead on to the big thing is a really good way to get yourself started. Yeah, and I think that, having said that, the other sort of side of it is that it's very easy with all the pressures that we have in day-to-day life to let things like creativity and looking after ourselves to you know, take a back seat and not be more important. And so I think approaching something like that 15 minutes of creativity, approaching that with discipline and saying at 6 o'clock or 9 o'clock this evening when I sit down, I am going to sit down and spend 15 minutes doing something creative. And that is as important as anything else I've done that day, whether it's, you know, getting my three children up and getting them all off to school, or whether it's getting to work on time, whatever it may be. You need to be disciplined about approaching the creativity with the same level of import for me that will help people to sort of take that first step.
And I think that's a really good point to begin to draw it together. One of the things which the facilitator said on a creativity workshop that I attended was the first 15 minutes of the day. So this lady who had been a playwright and was transitioning into being an author of novels, which apparently is a very difficult transition to make, she said she would get up and do 15 minutes of writing with no judgment whatsoever of what came out. And she could only actually carve out 15 minutes before all the negative thought would happen. So before she started talking to herself, saying, you know, this isn't any good, you'll never make it, people won't take you seriously. And so that's what she did. She wrote her first novel by getting up, first 15 minutes of the day, she did her writing, and she actually had a published award-winning novel at the end of that. I mean, it took 2 years, but it did get the job done, and it meant that she got to create without judging, and I think that's incredibly important. So I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you for joining us today, Mike, and really enjoyed that conversation and learnt from it. And wishing you very well with a game of war. Where would where's the best place for people to go to find your work?
So the two kind of options you've got, you've got the website, which is cairnswrites.com, or you can also find me on Amazon, and I have an author page, Michael Cairns is the author page on Amazon, so either of those places are the best places to go.
Fantastic, and that's Cairns, C-A-I-R-N-S. So thanks so much to Michael Cairns for joining us today, and looking forward to talking to you all again in 2 weeks' time. Brooklyn's Radio.